Praise the Lord and good afternoon, saints and good Bereans out there. This is Kelly McGinley, your host with the Berean Chronicles, coming to you live from Mobile, Alabama, where we are warming up a bit. Might get up to 60 today. We didn't get any extra chemtrails yesterday, so it might not make it. But first day in several weeks that we were able to get, three weeks or so, we were able to get out there and play tennis this morning, make up matches. Not at 8:30 because it was freezing still, but it was up to about 45 at 10, and so we were able to get out and play some makeup matches today, which is why I'm running a little bit late today. Plus, I'm in the process of making the biggest pot of chili you've ever seen for 30 or 40 people. We're back in our Bible study on Wednesday night swing, and I'm making a big pot of yummy, yummy chili. So a big morning here. We hate to see what's happening in Haiti. I think Haiti is the poorest country in the southern hemisphere, but they're the number one poorest. I mean, I guess, I think I'm right. Could be Bolivia. No, I'm really not sure. I think from my very bad memory, I think it's Haiti, and then Honduras is second. There have been a lot of earthquakes recently, and we haven't really been reporting on them, but there's been, you know, several in California, several, and Sharers tell me I'm right, thank you, I always, you know, because I don't trust my memory on saying absolute facts sometimes. And because of the fact that they're as poor as they are, their structures are very weak and very dangerous. 6.5 hit California last week, and there was no deaths. I was in a 6.5 in 71 in Southern California. Now, the one that hit Haiti was 7.0, and it's the strongest one they've had in over 200 years, and they're expecting, you know, thousands dead, I don't know, and let's pray not. But when the one I was in 71, we had in Southern California, in Long Beach, we had a hospital collapse too. We had overpasses collapse and people got trapped under cars. People were trapped in the hospital, people trapped in homes. So there were some deaths in the one that occurred in California that I was in. And I'm telling you, it scared me to ever loving. You know, I wasn't raised in a church, and I didn't know the Lord, and I didn't know anything about God. Zero, zilch, except for a little bit about Christmas, you know. And it was the scariest, because when you're in California, you're told every day the big one's going to hit and everybody's going to die. I mean, you talk about the sky is falling and doomsday prophecies all of our lives that everybody throws at us. Well, if you live in Southern California, you hear a doomsday prophecy about Southern California falling off in the ocean every day of your life. And there's some guru out there picking, you know, meeting with God and picking the day that big one's going to occur. And I remember one time we were at Disneyland, one day that they told us that was going to be the end. I guess if we have to go, Disneyland's a good place to be. And it's kind of out of the way where maybe it wouldn't go off into the ocean. But as a child, it was a very scary thing, and I'd go to sleep at night, and I would have my knight in shining armor come in a helicopter and save me right before the ocean waves got me, you know. And then I'd go to sleep. I'd comfort myself thinking that somebody in a helicopter was going to save me. And then I'd go to sleep. And then after I was in that big one, 6.5 and 71, after I was in the big one, and I thought it was the big one, and I thought I was going to die, I didn't go to sleep that easily after that. I never slept well till I moved south after that, and I was so glad. Hold on one second. I've got company coming over, grandkids, and so I had to close the door. All right. So my heart's breaking. There are, of course, getting emails about people saying, oh, they can use earthquakes as weapons of mass destruction, although in 77, we signed a, 33 of us, 33 plus the U.S., signed an agreement, U.N. peace treaty, that we would not use earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes as weapons of mass destruction. And you hope and pray that... And, you know, why would they hit Haiti? I mean, there's really no reason, I don't guess, why they would pick that place. But there have been a few earthquakes here and there as of late. And maybe it's the cold weather. I don't know. I can tell you it's probably colder in Haiti than it's ever been. So, the earthquake had a preliminary magnitude of 7.0 and was centered about 10 miles west of Port-au-Prince. Hello. How are you? Okay. Should be here in a second. At a depth of about 5 miles, the U.S. Geological Survey has said. So, most of Haiti's 9 million people are desperately poor. And after years of political instability, the country has no real construction standards. I did see Obama on TV declaring that America, U.S. would send help, supplies, and humanitarian efforts of a grand, hopefully very well. And if it's anything like what they did in Katrina, well, those people better fend for themselves. But you know, one thing about in Haiti is, like in Katrina, the government barred any humans, natural neighbors, that want to go out and give neighborly help to help their neighbors. They didn't allow it. In Haiti, they're not going to be that people around blocking humans from helping each other. And so that's one good thing that'll happen in Haiti is neighbors will be allowed to help each other. Go into devastated areas, or in this country, if something like that happens, they blockade it off, and you and I can't go help. And that's what happened in Katrina, if you remember. And that's sad. In Haiti, that's not going to happen. They'll take every bit of help they could possibly get, and people will be able to get in there. So the Doctors Without Borders lost all three hospitals in the Haitian quake. That's tough. Doctors Without Borders go and do basically free medical care for people in the very poor countries. The massive earthquake that has toppled buildings and cost untold lives in Haiti has also dealt a staggering blow to a prominent international organization which is struggling to help the injured without the benefit of a single hospital. 7.0 quake incapacitated all three Doctors Without Borders medical facilities around the capital of Port-au-Prince, the group has said Wednesday. Causing one to collapse completely, rendering the others so unstable that they had to be abandoned. Workers set to scramble up temporary shelters. And suppose we have many Americans that live there also. And they're reporting that thousands are feared dead. Do we have a number so far, Shara, that they have found a major hotel where there was 200 tourists are missing? Bodies are, you know, it's just, you know, it's really bad. So, we need to say a prayer for these people. The Lord, number one, will use this devastation to save the lost. Number two, that God's people will step up and help these people as best they can. And if there's anything that we can do here at Bring Chronicles, I will be looking to search if there's something that we could do. Although there's already many great groups out there that are already getting together and doing work, this is the time for God's people to step forward for sure and I know a little bit of what these people have gone through because we went through it once personally as a child, and it's very, very scary. Although I didn't know anybody who died, and I didn't see dead bodies, so that part. So this Haiti has had a tough time of it. It's the poorest nation in Americas. The three hurricanes and a tropical storm pounded Haiti in 2008, killing 793 people, leaving more than 300 missing. They had political standoffs and 2008 riots, skyrocketing food prices. It's not a good place to live at all. And so we will remember these folks in our I'm trying to turn off some. I hear some background noise. Here I have a video here of a Haitian witness talks about the earthquake. And yeah, I know it's devastating. And my thing is, it's hard for me to even hear it. As my heart goes out to those people. The UN is missing more than 100 staff members. So, you know, the thing is, in these very, very poor countries, their infrastructure is so poor. And, you know, you might have Alex Jones ranting and raving, and a lot of people ranting and raving about building codes. You know, our communist country, and we have building codes we have to go by. Well, when there's a big earthquake, you can praise the Lord for building codes. Because if we didn't have building codes in this country, the wicked, evil hearts out there would be building houses as wimpy as the ones in Haiti. And if we didn't have government officials walking in there and checking if they're not paid off, I will say we have a place that was paid off. The public official was paid off, and it was not built to standards, but it has sustained and has not fallen down in the big hurt. Ivan, who was right there in Ivan. But at the same time, we had to sue the builder and the engineer. Wish we could have find the inspector, the city inspector that inspected that building, because they didn't put the 2x4s close enough. We all saw what happened in Miami when the hurricane came through, and those cracker box houses all went flat, and they were not built to standard. The standards in California, we had just had a 6.5 hurricane, I mean earthquake that hit, and nobody died. The building codes, and you know I can gripe about it. I remember we were building this house. And that was when the U.S. building codes were taken over by the U.N. building codes. We had international building codes, and yes, one step closer to world government. And we wish that Haiti had to go by those buildings. Anybody who goes to Haiti would have to build with some sort of building code. But the government's so corrupt there, and there's less people to make sure it doesn't happen. That they just build cracker box houses, and sometimes that's all anybody can have anyway. So if it's a real small, some of the houses, like in Honduras, you wouldn't die in that house unless a big crack hits in the earth. So if you're out in the country, you know, if you're out in the country or you're out in the mountains and an earthquake hits, unless a tree hits on you or a block or something hits your head. But the houses are, you know, thatch, roofs, so they don't hurt you when they fall on you. If you're in a real cheap house, you're not going to die when that thing collapses on you. If you're in a cheap hospital, which is made out of some kind of block without, rebar keeping it strong. So, you know, during hurricanes and earthquakes, I am thankful. And when you buy something, I am thankful for some kind of government control. And the reason why we have to have some kind of government control is because men's hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all. That's why God created governments. Try to keep people from doing such evil to everybody. And for many reasons, in this country, there are a lot of checks and balances which help keep evil from growing so fast with those checks and balances there. All right. She says, remember, in order to survive, the Haitians eat mud pies and cookies. I'm not sure how mud pies keep you alive. That sounds disgusting. No, I don't remember that because I've never heard it. they'd be better off to eat weeds, I think, wouldn't you? Than mud pies. I'd eat a weed. Our hearts go out to these people and... One thing, you know what? When these kind of things happen, it is a opportunity for God's people to help the poor and the needy and the infirmed and the oppressed and the sick and injured. And it is a time for us to do that if we can. And one of our articles I have here is that there are thousands of fake Haiti earthquake charities springing up left and right overnight. This is coming from the World Press International. That to beware, because the reports are coming in from all over the world that thousands of fake Haiti earthquake relief charities are now sprung up overnight to collect donations from the unaware. These fake charities seem to be everywhere, with door-to-door solicitation, telephone solicitation, radio and TV ads, and especially on the internet. Thousands of websites instantly appeared overnight just to collect donations for charity in earthquake. Now, is that evil or wicked or what? What is that? Stealing from those who've been hurt and lost their homes. Oh, you know, if that fun, they'd be glad I'm not God. God's mercy is so much better than mine. And I'm trying to have his mercy because that's my job. But I can tell you, that breaks my heart. These people need to fear God. So anyways, they have all these fake appearing up overnight. Thousands of websites instantly appearing, offering to collect donations for charity and earthquake relief to Haiti. We know you want to help. Never give out your hard-earned cash or credit card number, interactive bank card, or anything to just anyone on a whim. There are some ones that are out there that I don't trust anyways, but they're probably still a lot better. Doctors Without Borders might be a good one to send it to. We know that they are already there and established, and they're not all Christians, but there's probably a lot of Christians involved in that. You could go through probably the Baptists. they're saying some of the ones that exist, International Medical Corps, Direct Relief International, World Vision, we know, International Relief Teams, America Red Cross, which, you know, who wants to give to that, Operation USA Care, World Food Program, World Save the Children, UNICEF. These are all, of course, liberal organizations. So Medical Teams International, these are legitimate charities that International Committee and the Salvation Army, which kind of does have some Christians, but they don't allow the gospel to be given anymore. I'd rather give it to those who are going to help plus give the gospel. These people are helpless without that. And let me tell you, with these poor countries, we talked about being rich and how that's not a blessing. These people in the poor country are open to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're humble, broken, contrite people already. They've already had everything taken out from them, and they're ready to receive the Lord. They just need the truth of the gospel. And I'm sure what's gone around there is the Catholic Church that's completely enveloped. The poor countries build gold churches on corners while everybody's starving to death. So, Alabama's... Alabama's already sending, the Alabama Baptists are working on it now, and I'm sure Texas is yet. Alabama's already sending small teams and train aids. I know of a few churches personally that I'm sure that have already got people going. That's who I'd want to give my money to, even if these are you know, God's people that are wanting to help, and they're in a false church, but at least you know they're going to help. So we need to give liberally to help these people in Haiti. This is a group of people that really... If we're going to pick the most oppressed on this planet, it'd probably be Haiti. Used and abused and poor, that would be them. And what's sad? Just beware. Thousands and thousands of fake Haiti earthquake charities springing up overnight. Don't give anybody any of your information. Make sure it's legit. Matter of fact, I'm sending this article to William so to make sure that we do a big announcement. Be careful. Do not send your money. Right now, my mom got something in the mail, and, you know, to refinance her house, and she sent them all her information. I said, Mother, they just stole your identity. I'm sure they're a fly-by-night thing, and they just stole your identity. So we're busy trying to deal with that right now, too. I said, that's how they do it. They just send a little thing to you in the mailbox, and they give you some offer that's too good to be true, which if it's too good to be true, it is. And then you send them all your license and everything, and then they go off with your identity. They're gone. So we haven't done a show on identity theft, and I should. My son's working at a bank, and they're getting they're going to a lot of classes on this, so he knows a lot more about it than I do. Be very, very careful. I never give money to anyone that calls me on the phone anymore. There is no way, even if there are some legitimate, nice, wonderful things out there to give money to, which are very few. There's a ministry that I work with, Operation New Life, which are doctors, and where they're going to send a medical team there, and also it's called Operation New Life, and the the Love Truth Care is, and this is coming from Little Rock, and I know the guy that started it personally very well. And so, you know, I know if I give money to them, and if he's got some teams going there, then I know that that God will use that money in a mighty way. So, thing is, the Lord wants us all to have a giving heart, caring and loving our fellow humans, especially the household of faith, especially the poor and the injured and the hurt and, you know, the Good Samaritans out there. All right. So, interesting. All right, let's read the scripture before I go over the rest here and some news that I have, the little bit of news I have here. But let's be in prayer for those people. Prayer for those people in Haiti, that many will become saved. When there's these things and things that start occurring, the Lord can use them in such mighty ways. And their hearts are already so, you know, about rich people is a lot different. Their hearts are so pliable and ready. The fertilized, their hearts are so completely crunched up and completely ready for the Word of God and for truth. Bibles, that's another thing these people need. If it's anything like Honduras, most of the poor people can't even, they're so poor they don't own a Bible. And so whenever I would show exercises so instead of saying thousands dead, which is what they are saying this morning, now they're saying it could be up to 500,000 dead. That's unbelievable. 7.0 earthquake, it's unbelievable. And it wasn't a tsunami, it's just buildings crashing down on people. Poorly constructed buildings. And I'm not playing these videos because they're too hard on us. We don't have to expose. Haiti is, you know, completely plagued with problems. All right, so they're saying Haitians pile bodies along the devastated streets in their capital Wednesday after a powerful earthquake flattened the president's palace, the cathedral, hospital, schools, the main prison, and thousands of homes. That's really sad. If you were real poor and you lived out kind of out of town, and you had a thatch house and a thatch roof, you were better off. If you were in town where the wicked government had bad building codes, everything crashed down on you. Officials say thousands of people and perhaps many more were dead. The bodies of the dead were everywhere. Awful, 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 awful. President Barack has promised an all-out rescue and humanitarian effort, adding that the U.S. commitment to its hemispheric neighbors will be unwavering. And I appreciate that. You know, let's hope it is good. As a rich country, we need to get out there and help these people, for sure. All right, now, the scripture I have is I want to talk about. That I wanted to read yesterday and didn't. I read it, but it's just, you know, how I'm not sure people understand God's power. Because when we read that little quote yesterday, what is getting God off his throne? If we take away his, of course, deity, but let's give him his deity, but he doesn't have any power. He doesn't do anything. He's not in charge of when the end times come. He's not in charge of when bad things happen. And if you just, I think taking away his power and then giving people more power than him, like Obama or, you know, or Illuminati and Masons or whatever, whoever you want to give more power to, Satan, and give it to, take it away from him and give it to them. And I think we don't live our life in knowing. None of us do as well as we ought to with God's power and knowing he's in control. And You know what makes it makes living so much more wonderful? So much more wonderful. And it says, verse 15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." That's what we need. We want the knowledge. Everybody wants revelation of what's going to happen. Instead, we want revelation in the knowledge of him, revelation of his power. And we want wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Lord and the knowledge of our Father. He says, verse 18, "So the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." We need to all be enlightened, our eyes, to the power of God. What a great prayer right here. We should be praying this for ourselves and for others. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward." So the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I like that verse. "And what is his exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Wait, let's start over. The power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, that he set him above all principalities. That means, you know, any kings and queens or Satan and his minions. Okay? "Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And so he had put all things under his feet. And gave to him, he's put him 100% in charge of everything. And there was another great scripture. Well, we'll get to it later, but it is so good. But I mean, his power and the power of God and the power of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, I mean, they're just all powerful, all knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent. Just there's nothing they can't do. Our minds can't fathom anything they can't do. We need to be fathoming what they can do. We need to have wisdom and revelation of the power of God, of our Lord. And then verse 3:17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Can you imagine that? He does. We can't even think or ask with what he can do. "According to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory by the church of Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen." So now unto him that they would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And it's amazing how the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, gives us his power to overcome and endure some of the terrible things in life. some of the wonderful things in life that can destroy us, and that power is there for us, that we can have be courageous, strong and courageous, to finish this race and to overcome the evil one, overcome our flesh, to be able to actually love people. You know, when fear is gone and we're not worried about what we eat, sleep or drink and the flesh, when that fear is gone, perfect love casts out all fear. When that fear is gone, when we love others, we can actually really love others. You understand, when people are scared and hungry and dark, cold, and they can't love others. I mean, they're like an animal. All they can think of is themselves. I've got to fulfill this need. And as Christians, you know, the power of God gets us over that need and still loving others and putting others before us. And it's that power of God that does that through us. It's not really, and if He gives us that power to be able to overcome and endure, listen, I'm walking by faith that He's going to do it. I know Him. I'm completely flesh in my weak, I'm very weak in my flesh and wimpy as all get out. And I don't want to have to suffer a one iota. But I know that He has promised His power and His strength and His Holy Spirit for us to endure and overcome and to go through anything that comes in our way. And to succeed powerfully, and to set tables in the presence of our enemies, to be overcomers. And even if that doesn't mean in the flesh, such as, you know, somebody, whatever, I mean, like what happened to John the Baptist, it could still happen. What happened to all of our disciples? I'm not talking about that. They all died with dignity. God gave them the strength to go walk through that valley of shadow of darkness, valley of death, by themselves. And they went through it with dignity and with an aura of power, such as Stephen when he was being martyred. Just stood there and looked up to the Lord. And what a statement he made to Paul and to others who was there watching, who was helping kill him. And we walk by faith of the power God has, and He's going to get us through whatever. We do not have to become fearful and violent and scared and wimpy and any of those things. And you know, one of my main things is someone is abiding with the Lord and has the wisdom and the knowledge of His power and understanding of the Lord, then they don't walk around in fear in a day in day out basis. They walk around in, and not in haughty and high minded cockiness, they walk in a aura of strength and courage. Which doesn't mean cockiness or haughtiness. It means love and kindness and patience and long-suffering. Because when people aren't scared, then they can be nice to other people. It's amazing how that fear makes everybody become mean to everybody. And that's why they're so busy forcing fear on everybody, so everybody get everybody there. Thank goodness for all those that are reacting very quickly, who have, you know, God works through many of these many people ministries, and He will get, and that doesn't mean it's off our plate. We need to find a way where we can help these people. Also, and we can help them right now through prayer for their souls. The Lord save these people there. I can't imagine why there'd be a need for them to bring a big earthquake in Haiti, unless it's for population control. And the wickedness of people's heart to build charities, to steal money from those who want to give and help the people, and steal money from the Haitians. You know, I'm going to pray for them people too. God catches them, gets them, stops it. Save them, too. If not, take them out. Anybody would steal money from poor, starving, injured people. Wow. You know, that's horrible. All right. There was a new executive order signed on the 11th. I told you all, now I don't use numbers, I report them. And Somebody accused me of using numbers, and no, I don't use numbers. I report them. And I mentioned on Monday, being the 11th, that, you know, something might happen on this day, and we might need to be paying attention to it. And yeah, sure, lo and behold, there was something that happened on that day. And Barack Obama has signed a new executive order. And this supposed executive order is stoking martial law, fears of martial law, which cracks me up. Now when you read Alex Jones's website, it'd say, well, there are others fear martial law, you know. Listen to the way they write it now. Cracks me up. He writes that some warn expansion of military involvement could lead to the end of the United States as a republic. We're not a republic now. It cracks me up how Alex Jones people, how they write that. Some warn. Who's that some? And then they'll say something else like, oh, down here towards the end of their little article about it. Conservatives and libertarians responded to the announcement by expressing their suspicion that Obama is preparing to give governors their marching orders to target anti-government types and, you know, come after everybody. This is what they said. Others warn, here's another one. Here's another paragraph in Alex Jones. Others warn that Obama could be preparing for cancel elections. I mean, they say this every... They said this with Clinton. They said it with Nixon. They said it with Roosevelt. They said it with everybody. There's always some group coming up saying, oh, they're going to cancel elections. And you know what? And we keep on having elections. Others warn, this is Alex Jones, cracks, this is how he writes their stuff. Others warn that Obama could be preparing to cancel elections under the justification of a national emergency, a fear that was often expressed when Bush was in office but never materialized. Yeah, nothing materializes ever that you talk about, Alex Jones. Can we just be a little bit more real? And yes, of course, there are lots of little teeny-weeny steps, very incremental, towards world government. You act like it's going to happen last week. And then he goes, however, the executive order clearly represents another assault on the posse comitatus. Well, that disappeared a long time ago. it just cracks me up. So, anyway, so Obama has signed an executive order on January the 11th. Interesting. And this is a... let's read the executive order. Let me get up here. Believe me, you're not going to get the whole thing on. So I have an email here from someone. Free. It says, freedom-loving Americans are rising. And this is from WorldNet Daily. And we'll read what that guy has to say here in a second. But, freedom. They're rising for another... Uh-oh. I might have, let's see. Trying to find my executive order that I might have sent my way yesterday. Someone's, January the 11th. Interesting day to write this executive order, you know, and Tower of Babel and New World Order. And it's a very incremental step, and basically it's he's making a new committee of 10 governors, 5 from Democrat and I guess 5 from Republican. And these governors are going to be meeting about Homeland Defense and having a meeting. Now, there are already a bunch of, and I'm waiting for a webpage to pop up. There are already a bunch of governor groups out there. Now, Cher, you said something earlier that it took me by surprise. And while I'm waiting for this article to come up, this executive order to come up very slowly, that this was coming from an executive order that George Bush did. We know that he did the Homeland Defense and the Patriot Act and all this stuff. So basically what Obama's taken is everything that George Bush did And oh, why is it not coming up? Why does it have to do that to me? Maybe it'll come up faster. I canceled it out, and maybe everybody's reading it. You know, I guess a long time. Everybody's there reading it. Maybe that's what the problem is. Sheriff, you could send me a quick link to the act that passed in 2008, because that's not what... Are you talking about the Homeland Defense Act? Or the some kind... Which act did it pass? Because he didn't make reference. I read... Will you send me the executive order? For some reason, I failed to get it. Making chili and playing tennis today and dealing with a dog in heat. I failed to get it to this website. It's probably over here. Knox, Mom, it's okay, Princess. Mommy didn't mean to scare you. I scared her. Hold on. I got it here. Just, I can't get it to come up over here. In that article, maybe there's too many people reading it. Hold on a second. I'm getting ready to sneeze. Okay. All right, here it is. I got your article here. I don't know how I missed it. Council of Governors to Rule America. Oh, this came out on the 11th. The president today signed an executive order establishing a Council of Governors. And, basically, the Council of Governors to strengthen further partnerships between the federal government and the state governments to protect our nation against all types of hazards, like maybe civil war. I think this probably has something to do with civil war. I would like to know which 10 governors. We have 50 states. Are you going to have them all southern governors? 5 northern, 5 southern? When appointed, the council will be reviewing such matters as involving the National Guard is in various states. Homeland defense, civil support, synchronizing and integration of states and federal military activities in the U.S., and other matters of mutual interest pertaining to the National Guard, Homeland Defense, and civil support activities. The President shall establish a bipartisan Council of Governors to advise the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Homeland Security and the White House Homeland Security on matters related to the National Guard. The council shall meet in the call of the Secretary of Defense and the co-chairs council to exchange views, information, advice on the Secretary of Defense with the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Homeland Security. So now I think, I don't know, but maybe it's good to be, organizing some governors in some of this in some of the New World Order. Since they're going to be bringing in their National Guards and their troops and their military now. All right, this is the one from year 2008. This is H.R. 4986. And it was done on 1/22 instead of 11. The following summary for the passage of this bill on January 22nd, 2008. So it's very interesting. This was done on the 11th. This old one was done on the 22nd. This doesn't, in my opinion, I don't see how this has anything to do with the other one, and I haven't read anything that says these two are connected. Shara. And so Shara connected those two, and I never saw it. I never saw how these two are connected. Now, I'm not saying they're not. I'm waiting for the actual Section 1822. When I read the new one yesterday, which I need to read again, if you haven't read it, it is the big Section 122, what? 1822, interesting number. Interesting number. I can't pull up. For some reason, I can't pull up the one I have here, so it's not working right. I guess maybe. All right, 1822, Section 1822. Where did you read that these two were connected? I'd have never figured this one out. All right, 1822. Shh, this thing's gigantic. The one that Baracta is real small. I can read it to you in just 2 seconds. Okay. All right. Yeah, here we go. Where'd you get this? You learned this from Alex Jones? Because, you know, no one would have ever known. You know, unless somebody that's part of the Illuminati exposes this, most of us average doofuses would never know that this gigantic House of Now, this is a bill that came out by the House of Representatives, and I guess it was signed into law. I don't know. And so this is a bill, this National Defense Authorization Act for the fiscal year 2008, House Representative Bill 4986. What's the Senate bill, and when was it signed and ratified by the president? I don't know. But in this section eight, in this sense, this thing is gigantic. This bill, this law that was passed is gigantic. It would take you and I, and number one, I wouldn't do it. I mean, who can do it? Someone needs to be doing it, which I guess the lawyers. All right, but in Section 1822, it reads, requires the president to establish a bipartisan council of governors to advise the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the White House Homeland Security Council on matters related to the National Guard and civil support missions. So this was done by President Bush and the House of Representatives. Could have been this is, you know, part of his Patriot Act, Homeland Defense stuff after 9/11, okay? And Homeland Security and all this stuff that was developed after 9/11, and now they're trying to supposedly organize it. So interesting number, though, 1822. This was signed on January 22, and that this one, he came out with executive order on 11/111, January 11. Why do they have to do that? Why do they sign it on 1/22, and 1822 has one to do about 1/11, and 18 hidden 666? So yeah, this could possibly be a step up. You can read this whole thing. It is about has a lot to do with our military and reserve policy forces and that kind of stuff. So, National Guard, you can read, this has the Military Construction Authorization Act of 2008. This was put out by the Republicans, and it is, wow. And does it tell you where this was? Let's track this and where it's been signed in and all that kind of stuff. Let me hit track. I'm tracking it. I'd like to know all the dates on this thing. Oh, you're not logged in so you can't track. Well, oh well. All right, 49, 13, 86. So it's interesting that the numbers 49, 86, 49 is the 13. What does that mean? Death. And what does 86 mean? Death. Interesting numbers that they have used here for the 110th Congress. Okay, well, now where'd you find out that these two were connected? Because I'd say they're part of the Illuminati, because the average person, we have one of these every year. So it's kind of like the Patriot Act. But it's all about our military. And let's see what they say at the beginning of it. This is also the same bill or law that allows the president to grant immunity to Iraq for certain cases brought in the U.S. for court money damages due to sponsored terrorism. It increases the basic monthly pay for members of the uniformed services, permits veterans who are 100% disabled to receive all or both, provides the drugs prescribed for TRICARE. So this is about our military. It provides drugs and care. Established national security personnel system. So it's a gigantic law, bill that was signed into law, I guess, by George Bush. And can we, and was it completely voted into law? I guess it was. All right. Okay. Here is my, here is the Obama orders up a new council for governors. Somebody wrote a funny article about it, but we're not real funny right there right now. So here it is. Here is his, here is the executive order right here. January the 11th, 2010, established the establishment of the Council of Governors by the authority vested in me as President of the United States, President by the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, including section, there it is, 1822 of the National, thank you, I read right over that, of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2008, Public Law 110-181, lots of 18s, and in order to strengthen further the partnership between the federal government and the state governments, our nation, so Obama's just doing what he was told to do. He established a council, I'm not reading the whole thing, and I'm going to send this article to our website also so you can read it. I read right over that, Shara, that it, from that law, and it came from George Bush's regime. Hey, does anybody mention that, like Alex Jones? Unbelievable. The president who will designate two members who should not be members of the same political party to serve as co-chairs for this council. The council should, hey, it's kind of like this, the guy with 10 horns. The beast comes out with 10 horns. Could be these 10 governors. Just kidding. The function of this council will be to meet with all at the call of the Secretary of Defense and co-chairs of the council, exchange views, information, or advice with the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the Assistant of the President of Homeland Security. Counterterrorism, the Assistant of the President, the matters involving National Guard of various states, which is interesting because if we go to Civil War, this is going to be, to me, this is what's very important for going, if they're pushing for a Civil War and this is where they're trying to direct it. Matters involving the National Guard of various states, homeland defense, civil support, getting people involved, synchronization and integration of the state and federal military activities in the United States, and other matters of mutual interest pertaining to the National Guard, homeland defense, and civil support activities. And let me just, in Section 3, it says the Secretary of Defense shall designate an executive director to coordinate the work of this council. They're not going to get paid, but they will get per diem. I did read that. Members shall serve without compensation for their work. However, members shall be allowed to travel expenses according to their per diem in lieu of subsistence. Upon the joint request of co-chairs, the council, Secretary of Defense shall, to the extent permitted by law and subject to the availability of appropriations, provide the council with administrative support, assignment, details, personnel. They get the free secretaries. Okay. And they can, the council can establish subcommittees of the council, so they can have their own little groups. The council may establish a charter that is consistent with the terms of the order, further its purpose, scope, and objectives of this member. The term state has a meaning provided with by, governor has a meaning provided by, oh boy. Okay. And this Barack Obama, he signed it on January the 11th, 2010. Interesting. And so the, and it's about this bill, or new law. The law number is 111/181. Interesting. Signed on 11/22. And it was in section 1822. And so 10 governors. Well, 10 governors, a beast coming up with 10 horns. Well, you know, you would think it'd be 10 countries more than 10 governors, but our states are pretty big, I guess. I don't know. Well, as we I've talked about in the scriptures today, God's all powerful, and He don't look down and say, "Oh no, they're doing it again. They've got 10 governors. Oh, I'm going to have to change my plans. I'm going to have to speed it up because they're ahead of me." You know, He don't look down and say those kind of things. Thank goodness, huh? We wouldn't want to be saved to that kind of God. And we want to be the all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, and nothing happens. Nothing is allowed to happen unless He allows it to happen. And when He says it's ready for the new world order and one world leader, then that's when it's going to happen. I don't care how many people you organize in committees. It's not going to happen until God says it's going to happen. But anyway, all right. So that's the big talk. And I'll say, of course, you have Alex Jones. Some fear that it is the work towards world government. And some fear that it's the worst for a police state. And some fear. He wants everybody fearing. The Bible, you know, I'm not going to be fearful that the Bible prophecies that the Lord's put out and told us what's going to happen, that it's going to happen. And that it may happen in our lifetime, probably not. It's too incremental and very slow. But I'd like to make a prediction about which governors it would be. Because since I'm thinking this is leaning towards the Civil War. And the Civil War, believe me, it's just wars and rumors of wars, beginning of sorrows, okay, people? It in the end of the world, Armageddon type stuff. It's just, it will be the beginning of sorrows. We have one on, it will be for us that live in America. The beginning of sorrows have hit other people a long time ago. But for us, right now, it would be the beginning of sorrows again. Although we had beginning of sorrows other times, 200 years ago, 150 years ago. But we'd be back to the sorrow thing again. Now, you don't think Texas would be... All right, so let's see. Let's see. Five Democrat governors. We've got a governor race. Our governor is a lame duck, and we have a governor's race going on now. And plenty of Illuminatius are running for governor, including Judge Roy Moore in this state. Now, case number 33 when they were firing him. So... I'm just wondering how many northern governors and southern governors will be in this. Listen, folks, I need to probably spend some time to get organized with that. But the South and the military bases and the movement of military bases and I did whole shows. I used to have a website. I need to go look at my own website and catch up on this. But we have brought so much military-making equipment to Alabama. I mean, instead of making it in California, they're coming here. Mobile's industry is unbelievable because we're making ThyssenKrupp, which made all military for the World War II, has moved to Mobile. Eads and Northrop Grumman have moved here to Pensacola, Mobile, to build airplanes and weapons and, you know, ships and whatnot. Yesterday, we had fly into town. I mean, they're building military equipment in the South. They just had articles recently about all the Southerners who were in the military. And they just had another article about how the North and South were in civil war against each other about these military contracts. As a matter of fact. So, I'm seeing a little writing on the wall there, which is very interesting. I don't like it, not one bit. But that I'm more thinking that this has a lot more to do with Alex Jones' job, which is to provoke a civil war, because he and all of his friends that get the memo to provoke the civil war. Yesterday we had a Black Hawk, it was a Night Hawk helicopter land in Mobile. The front page of my Mobile Press Register today is we are two obelisk towers. We have twin towers now in Mobile, 33 and 11 Water Street. No, that's their addresses. Not exactly. And so the front page of my Mobile Press Register is a Nighthawk, instead of a Black Hawk helicopter, it's a Nighthawk helicopter landing between those two towers. Looks like the twin towers. They made them look alike. So we have twin towers in Mobile. One's taller than the other, though, so they're not 100% twin, just like the other. And twin towers in Mobile. And the Nighthawk helicopter landed between them, and that was our front picture of our front. You know, you talk about police state, Alex Jones, come to Mobile. We got Blackhawk, Nighthawk helicopters landing in the middle of Mobile in between our obelisks. And so basically there was a big ceremony because they were commissioning the big military ship that the Independent. And I don't have the article in front of me because I'd like to read it to you. And I left it. No, hold on. I have it up here. Dr. Lyon. Here it is. I got it right here. I got a picture of the two obelisks that they made them, and they built a steeple on the top of it. Remember, like the ones they don't allow in Switzerland? Well, they got, it looks like church steeples on the top of these obelisks. And I got a picture of both of them here, side by side, like the Twin Towers. And here it is, a multi, and this is my front page of my metro region, excuse me, for the 13th of January. The multi-mission MH-60S Nighthawk helicopter arrives in Mobile, landing on Tuesday in downtown Mobile. Now, what is it? Now, could you imagine if I listened to Alex every day and I saw this happening in Mobile yesterday, I'd freak out and die of a heart attack. Because, you know, police day, I'm dying, you know. It's funny we didn't have a few people go crazy yesterday in this town. And so they were here. So they landed in downtown Mobile. They didn't land on, we have a little air base. We used to have one that some president closed because Alabama went for the other one. So we closed our Brooklyn Field. We have an Brooklyn Air Force Field. Here in Mobile, and it's being used now for federal UPS, Federal Express, and for military things. It's been used a lot now. So this Nighthawk could have landed there, but no, it lands in downtown Mobile. Right here, in the middle, right in front of the two obelisks. Now, somebody had to send memos to people to get this thing to go down there and get the guy in the right place, take this picture with these two obelisks in the background. I wish I could show it to y'all. Now, all right, so with Black Hawk, it's a Nighthawk. I keep calling it a Black Hawk, but you know, night is black. You know, night is dark, so it looks like a Black Hawk, but it's a Nighthawk. It's a gray. It's not black. It's not a black helicopter. It's a gray helicopter. And it's landing in downtown Mobile. And it will be on display for the LSC commissioning ceremony on Saturday. So this Saturday, Mobile landing began bustling with high-tech military. Yes, this is yesterday. Mobile, high-tech. Mobile landing began bustling with high-tech military hardware Tuesday as the city prepared for Saturday's commissioning ceremony of the LCS-2 Independence, which is the shallow water combat ship that was built by Austal USA and Mobile by General Dynamics Corp led team. So we're building warships here in Mobile, and I know the Austals. And guess what time the commissioning is? 11 a.m. The commissioning, 11 a.m. commissioning marks its official move to the U.S. Navy hands. Approximately 10,000 invited guests will be here. Oh, Lord. I'm staying away from down. I got to go. Across the bay at 8:30. I hope I'm not in the way of them 10,000 people. Approximately 10,000 people are invited. Guests will be treated to an up-close look of the plug-and-play equipment that makes this warship unique. The invitations were free, but the deadline has passed for people to request them through the commissioning committee or the Navy. Tuesday found Navy Austal, General Dynamics, and committee representatives directing the arrival and display of the Independence move from the east side of Mobile River in front of the Austal shipyard to berth at landing. The helicopter outfitted with a console that allows the Independence to hunt mines, perform tasks of search and rescue. So the Mine Hunter 60S Nighthawk helicopter is the Navy's newest entering the service in February 2002. The Independence will be the first Mobile-built ship commissioned in the city since World War II. So, all right. So, interesting what's happening here in the South. And I promise you, I should probably we've already done it. And I, you know, if I get a chance and share its help, I can go back and get all the old articles about all the maneuvering of the military building equipment. Everything's coming. You know, that's why our economy's doing pretty good around here, because we're building war things. And they're moving them from other states. California, we're winning all these bids. They're coming to the Mississippi and Alabama. They're coming to the South to build military equipment. ThyssenKrupp, we did a whole show on ThyssenKrupp when they come to Mobile, and another, it's a steel factory, and they work for Hitler. They're a German-made company, and they made all the military equipment for the World War II, for Germany. Now they come down here, and they're Mobile, Alabama. Well, all right, so I'm just telling you, I think it's going to be very interesting to watch to see which governors. Do we have any idea when this guy, when Obama is going to pick his governors? Because I'm going to be sitting on the edge of my seat. This is my big worry, and I don't think it's the end of the world, police state, and all that kind of stuff. A little bit of that's going to happen. We all know it's incremental. Hold on. For some reason, I didn't want to play that song. I can only go on for an hour today. I'm really good at going off on time today. But, because I have to. But, interesting. So he did this executive order on 111. It was a law passed 122. And it was section 1822 that said that he needed to pass his executive order on 111. So, all right, so Shara has sent me this USS Independence that's being, it's on Facebook. Oh, it's my first time to go to Facebook right now. I can post this to my website, she says. Okay, Facebook. The LSC Independence, hey, there it is. There's the picture. If y'all don't believe me, what was on my front page, I want you to see it. Hurry, send it to William quick. Get that picture. On, I don't know if he's home or not. He might be. Send it. Get it on William quick. I should have told him. Here it is. Picture of what was in the Mobile Press. What'd you think about that? January 13th. Picture of this Nighthawk helicopter coming into with this ship. Where's the picture of the ship? Oh, there it is. Okay. Picture of the ship's there too. And, wow. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time. Yeah, things just can be strange, can't they? You know what? You know, but just remember the power of God. They don't do anything that he doesn't let them do, number one, or allow them to do, get away with, or it never prospers to go the way they want it to do anyways. But, you know, but the Lord did warn us that there'd be wars and rumors of war. And I see what they're doing, and it's like, you know, it's like plain as the nose on my face what they're planning. And what's really worrisome is that they're planning it in the South, where half of us live, and Shara and I live. It's funny that Shara's Texas and Kelly's from Alabama, and Alabama beat Texas in the, you know, as Alabama is the national champions. Alabama fans, they'd like to stay that national champion. Does any of that thing have play into any of the other stuff? I don't know. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Brian Chronicle. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And keep you, protect you from evil and wicked and principalities. And the God of all power, give us strength and wisdom and revelation to his power and knowing, so that we can live strong and secure in the love of Christ and love for others. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Other Free and Chronicles.